today's audio cast for Monday, February 19th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Following a thorough analysis of the many issues addressed in the FAA's new air tour rule unveiled last Friday, EAA is particularly alarmed at several elements of the rule that threaten the future of the Young Eagles program. AvWeb's Glenn Pugh caught up with Earl Lawrence, EAA's Vice President of Industry and Regulatory Affairs, who's in contact with senior FAA officials to clarify. Here's his report.
Earl, the Young Eagles program has taken nearly 1.3 million young aviation enthusiasts aloft. Is there some safety issue that's become apparent through that experience that this new rule means to address?
The new rule actually does not address any safety issues that have appeared in the Young Eagles program. The Young Eagles program has been one of the most successful and safe operations of introducing young kids, youth, to aviation. Nowhere in the proposed rule or in the final rule does the FAA indicate that there is any concern with the safety record of the Young Eagles program. And in fact, in subsequent discussions with the FAA, they're always very complimentary of the program and also always reinforce that it's always been a safe and a great program and that they didn't have any concern with the safety record of the Young Eagles program.
Well, it's interesting. The rule seems to divide flights into three categories, if I'm not mistaken. It talks about charitable events, nonprofit events, and community events. Where in that mix do the Young Eagles flights fit in?
Well, that's really part of EAA's concerns and questions with the preamble of the rule. When we read the regulation itself, it seems to be very specific of talking about events that have compensation related to them. You know, they talk about those three categories, about charity event or a nonprofit event or a community event, and it always says raising funds. And what's one of our questions when we read the preamble? The FAA seems to indicate that an EAA Young Eagles event is somehow raising funds for charitable activity. And this is what was very confusing for us and why we immediately contacted the FAA to resolve or to obtain an answer as to what did they really mean by that. Because no compensation is involved with the Young Eagles program. So there were specific comments in the final rule where they use the EAA Young Eagles program as an example and specifically stated that it was a charitable event and an activity that would be covered by these regulations, which was very confusing to us.
Well, it seems also that there's some sort of time requirement. The FAA mentions a four-event minimum, 3 days maximum with a 12-day limit on pilot participation. I guess that's each year. And something about the need for certification as an air carrier if someone exceeds those limits. What's going on here? In your estimation, what groups are the intended targets of these rules? And who's getting hit with the collateral damage?
Right. Well, it appears that the Young Eagles program is getting hit with some collateral damage by the language and the reference to our program in the preamble. Our understanding of the intent of this final rule is to regulate actual events that are raising funds. For example, you decide to raise funds to build a new hangar at your local airport. And so you say, hey, everybody come on out, and if you give a $20 donation to the hangar fund, you get a free aircraft ride. Now, that is obviously a compensation activity. Somebody's paying to fly in an airplane. Another example that is the FAA was aiming at is, say you're a museum and you have some historic aircraft. What the museum may say is, give the museum a few hundred dollars donation, and for that, if you pay $500, you get an opportunity to fly in X airplane. Okay, so there's some type of activity where somebody provides a gift or amount of money to some activity, and then they get an aircraft ride for that. Where we differentiate that from the Young Eagles program is participate in the Young Eagles program, obviously we don't make the kids join EAA. They don't have to be give any money. The parents don't have to somehow financially donate to EAA or anything like that. And the pilots don't receive anything. They don't receive fuel. They don't receive money from EAA. You know, of course, they do receive that thanks, that beautiful smile from the kids when they you know, return back to the ground and they had a wonderful experience. But we don't think just because they are registered with EAA, a nonprofit organization, and because they get that thanks from the children, that they should be regulated like an activity that's a for hire.
So does the 4-event minimum and 3 days maximum targeted toward events that are raising money, events that aren't raising money, or is it clear from how the FAA has it written so far?
Well, when I read the rule, I think it is clear that it's about raising money. Then you read the preamble, and it specifically gives examples of activities that aren't raising money.
Okay, so therein lies the problem, I guess.
Yes.
More of our conversation with Earl Lawrence of EAA in just a moment.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping. And learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
Well, those time restrictions weren't the only ones I saw. I also saw that there's a proposal to increase the total flight time that a pilot has from 200 to 500 hours for those pilots participating in Young Eagles flights. The FAA adds a sentence to that that confused me a little bit, and so I'll quote it to you. The 500-hour requirement for private pilots who wish to fly in a charitable, nonprofit, or community event is not a new requirement for many. It has simply never been written into regulation, end quote. That, to me, sounds like it's new, but are you familiar with what they're talking about? Could you explain that?
I am familiar with what they're talking about. One of the references in the preamble refers to a specific exemption that EAA obtained from the FAA. What that exemption allowed us to do is, for example, to have a chapter purchase the fuel for all the pilots who are flying Young Eagle at a particular event. Okay, so now there's compensation involved. In this statement the FAA is referring to is that exemption required the pilots who are receiving that free fuel for flying the kids to have at least 500 hours total time.
All right, so pilots who weren't involved in any sort of compensation were excluded from that.
In our mind, that is correct. And that's why we were so concerned and confused when we read the preamble language, where it referred specifically to pilots who had made comments that said, I've flown Cub Scouts, I've flown Boy Scouts, I've flown Young Eagles, and I don't have 200 hours, you know, even the 200 hours, and nor did I have to meet any of these other requirements. And the FAA's response back to it was, oh, you were obviously unaware that you were operating under this exemption from EAA. EAA was unaware that they were operating under this exemption also because, you know, the exemption that we have with these 500-hour requirements and these other requirements are very specific about compensation, about the pilots receiving something for the activity.
Aside from compensation, just on the hours alone, it seems the FAA is pointing to the AOPA Air Safety Foundation's NOL report and citing that pilots with fewer than 500 hours, according to that report, account for 34% of all accidents. Is there a case to be made for safety and keeping those pilots participating over 500 hours?
Well, I think this is a good example of how you can use statistics out of context to prove your point. What the FAA didn't refer to is that same report also states that the vast majority of accidents, both fatal and non-fatal, actually occur with pilots with less than 100 hours. We're talking 43% of all accidents occur with pilots less than 100 hours. So then to pick a higher number and then say, oh, well, this is even better, and that's all they were doing. And then the other thing is they're taking the operation out of context. What type of environment did those accidents occur? These type of charitable events are required to be operated day VFR within 25 nautical miles of, or 25 actually statute miles of the airport. Were these accidents occurring in that type of weather and that type of environment? So in essence, they're taking statistics where people are flying VFR into IMC conditions and having accidents, and where they're, you know, there's all these things that are totally separate than the operation that would be taking place when you're giving a fun flight, you know, basically around the pattern or, you know, an expanded pattern to kids or to guests that to and, you know, somebody giving a donation. That's a totally different environment activity than just picking some number and saying, oh, well, you know, we'll get rid of the vast majority of incidences if we set the limit at this amount of hours. So, again, I'm really kind of offended the way the FAA had just picked a number there and without putting it in context.
Well, I think I could see some private pilots being a little bit offended by it also, considering that they can take any number of people up whenever they feel like it. It seems that the FAA, though, is now saying that if it's associated with what they determine as a community event or a charitable event or the other kind, that then they can only do it four times a year if they have less than 500 hours. But at the same time, if you're a commercial pilot with, say, I don't know, 300 hours, then none of this applies. Am I correct?
That is correct. And, you know, it goes back to what they're looking for is to get people in the commercial air tour requirements if they're going to be doing more than four flights. You know, what the FAA is really looking for is did the person receiving, did they have an impression that this was a payment for a ride? Is there an expectation that the safety requirements are higher than just flying with somebody that they, with their neighbor, for example, that happens to be a pilot? And that's the core of the discussion. Now, I don't believe in these charitable type events that the vast majority of them, there's an expectation that you're meeting some kind of a commercial level. You know, but there have been incidences where, you know, folks have worked around the gray edges of this rule. You know, that's where the FAA was trying to make sure that they follow the same requirements of another charter operation or somebody who provides rides.
And let's make clear something here. The language that you're concerned about is particular to the preamble of this rule, and that means that it cannot be commented on? Is that the case?
You can comment on any public document. But what's of concern is when they put out a proposed rule, we can comment to the rule, what it said. Then they come back and provide preamble language that says, this is what the final rule means. Okay? You don't have that opportunity in the rulemaking process to comment on that. And it changes the meaning drastically if you are now saying that Young Eagle flights, which no compensation was involved, now is an air tour operation, which they're now interpreting the compensation is occurring on.
What's the current status of the rule right now?
The rule will be a final rule in less than 30 days. It will be in the 15th of March. It'll be a final rule, and that's it. People will have to comply with the rule. There are some provisions in the rule that gives some additional time for commercial operators to comply with the additional requirements, like getting floats on their helicopter and, you know, really, and getting registered with your local FISDO and you know, meeting all the rest of the requirements. But the rule is a final rule, and it is effective as of March 15th.
So right now, is there anything anybody can do to change things? I mean, what can we do from here?
What we're doing is we're working with the FAA, get them to clarify what they meant. We don't think they really meant to say that Young Eagle flights were commercial operations or that fall under these charitable flights for most cases. And when I say most cases, those cases in which compensation are not involved. They can fix that themselves. And right now, we're speaking with the FAA on a daily basis. We're working through this. They're analyzing what the impact was and what they intended to have the impact with, and we hope in the coming weeks that there'll be clarification in our favor as to what applies and what doesn't apply. Now, as far as the actual final rule is concerned, if the listeners have additional concerns about what is said in there and they want to comment on them, they can, but the FAA has no requirement to adjust the rule at this point because it's done. It's final.
Well, it's an interesting situation of intents and consequences here. In your current conversations with the FAA, how have they come across to you?
The FAA has been consistent in saying it was never their intent to adversely affect the Young Eagles program. So that's good news. We're very happy to hear that. What seems to be is a differing of understanding of how Young Eagle flights were occurring by some in the agency. And I don't want to say all, because obviously we've got a lot of inspectors. We've got a lot of folks in the FAA that participate in the Young Eagles program. They've been very supportive. They actually fly Young Eagles. And so I think what we have here is some misunderstandings of what was intended and what was written down. I read some of the language in here about the comments I said earlier about Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts and flown Young Eagles. And I think it was interpreted by the FAA, when they were responding to that comment, that person wasn't somehow involved in a compensation flight at the same time. Whereas I don't believe the commenter felt that way.
At this point, I guess it's just going to continue as an ongoing conversation with hopefully a positive outcome for you.
We do expect there'll be a positive outcome, and we are asking for and we expect a clarification language to be coming from the agency soon. And our president, Tom Poperesny, will be going to Washington, D.C. and meeting with the administrator next week to further reinforce our desire to work this out and to clarify what the true intended impact of this rule was.
A lot of people appreciate what you're doing for them, standing up with the FAA. Thank you so much, Earl, for taking the time, and best of luck to you.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to AFWEB's conversation with EAA's Earl Lawrence. You can continue to watch the story unfold at AFWEB.com. Plus, you'll find great aviation resources along with brain teasers, the video of the week, picture of the week, the pilot's lounge, and lots more. And you can sign up for our news feed and have the most recent headlines pushed directly to your RSS-based news reader. Log on to AFWEB.com/register. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@AFWEB.com. And this report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Look for our next audio cast this Friday, February 23rd. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening to AVWeb Audio.